Good afternoon. I didn't say good morning. I think I'm starting to get on to this cycle and this track. Amen. And even in my little sermon notes, it says good afternoon. So, and I wrote it late in the way evening hours. So, which is good. So today we get to continue our study on the Jezebel spirit. Over the past 2 weeks, we began to investigate this spirit and how it has influenced the Church of America today. In the previous sermons, we have seen how the spirit uses sexual immorality, causing us to sin against ourselves and God, luring us into a lifestyle of self-gratification and self-importance. We reviewed the models of control versus stewardship in the persons of David and Jezebel, which have led us to ponder the means of which we strive to advance the kingdom of God. Through the example of Jezebel, we see how the spirit seeks to drive us to retain dominion over people, objects, and circumstances through a position of power and manipulation. However, when manipulation fails to secure our position, through Jezebel's example, we clearly see how the spirit removes opposition through destruction and death. Today, we will cover another area of the spirit that is as subtle as it is detrimental to the body of Christ. This area is deception. Now, all of us know deception. We know what it means to be deceived. Heck, we love magic tricks. They deceive us all the time. We think it's the coolest thing. Oh, look, a quarter behind the ear. How'd it get there? But deception is far more sinister than just that. Going back to the dictionary and just trying to find kind of a foundation of deception, it's defined as a misleading falsehood, an act of deceiving, an illusionary feat considered magical by naive observers. However, as we continue to look at this, we must not just stay with that definition. We need to go beyond that and look at it as deception is not an act, but a tactical tool used to gain some advantage. We must understand that it is a craft that our enemy has perfected and refined to the point of being detected only in the aftermath of damage. How many of us, after we've gone through and we've hurt the ones that we loved and we've made a mess of something that could have been really good, do we realize, wow, I was believing this lie, or wow, I didn't realize how deceived or how far off I was. I am right there with you. And we have to recognize that it is not just a spirit of deception, but it is a Jezebel spirit that we are dealing with. And that this spirit is conniving, manipulative, and very dangerous, and very detrimental to the body of Christ. We are called to be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves, not as brainless as jellyfish, and as mute as a blade of grass. If you will, I would ask you guys to please turn to Revelation 12, starting at verse 18. If you don't have your Bible, I do have it in front of me, so I will read it. I'll give you a second to get there. Sure. You guys get 2 seconds. What's wrong, Ed? I'm sorry. I'll do it. Mike. Okay. 12:18. Don't worry about it. Through here? We're going to the part where Christ is talking to the church of Thyatira. Three. Sorry, guys. And for those of you who are listening along, we are going to Revelations 3:18 to the church of Thyatira. 2:18. Thank God I have other believers who will help me in this. Please extend your grace as you're listening to this. So in this, it is written, to the angel of the church at Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and your faith, your service and your perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerated the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and eating the food of sacrifice that is sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children with death, and then all the churches will know I am he who searches hearts and minds and will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings, you have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, and I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give him authority over the nations. This is pretty impactful and almost very blunt and to the point. Here we find that God is talking directly to those who are in this church. And as we have learned in our past sermons, that yes, Jezebel was very sexually immoral and corrupt, and caused the nation of Israel to run away from their beliefs in God and to chase after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. But she also caused them to make themselves into gods and put them into place, into a throne that is only for our king. She caused them to go into rebellion and to idolize themselves. And as we know, we serve a jealous God, and he will not tolerate this. It is time for us as the body of Christ to wake up and begin our study on our enemy that has studied us through generation to generation. Thankfully, God has already given us the tools and the paperwork on this spirit through the model of Jezebel the person. Now, before we continue any further, I'd like to kind of paint a picture of you, and you can tell me who this sounds like. If I were to paint a picture of a person who is passionate in their faith, reverent in their worship, intelligent and well-read and well-versed, inspiring and influential. We would say that this talks about a Christian. Yes? Impactful, inspiring, reverent, passionate about faith. This all seems to line up. Yes, Christian. Yes, check mark, check mark, check mark. These, however, are some adjectives that describe Jezebel. It's almost scary, the similarities between a Christian and Jezebel, which makes it very hard to discern a Jezebel spirit. It is so deceptive and so similar that it just simply dances around the truth, just outside of what the truth really is, enough to make it a lie, enough to lead us away from what the truth is. Her story is told in 1 Kings, starting at chapter 16:31, all the way to chapter 21. 5 chapters were spent on documenting the struggles and evil she and her king Ahab inflicted on Israel. If you've not read this story, I would highly suggest that in your spare time, you read through it thoroughly. You see, many times we think of Jezebel as this stupid woman who persuaded men with her sexual wiles, that she just flaunted herself, flopped down, and got her way. The truth of the matter is that Jezebel, the person, was a member of the royal family. She was a princess who was married to a king and thus became a queen. She was in a position of submitted authority, yet she desired to be her own master. She brought her beliefs and religion to Israel and led a nation of people to stand against God. A nation of people. A nation of people who had loved and were sold out for a God. And she slowly led their hearts and themselves away from their deliverer and king and first love, and led them into self-love and self-centered lifestyle and self-gratification. A nation in rebellion against God was now hung around her neck. She was intelligent and well-read on the inner workings and inner structures of the societies that were around her and the kingdoms that were around her. And she knew, as you read through her story, how the nation of Israel operated. She knew the outlines of authority, who did what was this, what seal I needed in the whole entire story of Naboth's vineyard. It's illustrated. She was a very intelligent woman. And at that time, all royalty was learned and well-read and well-versed. She possessed wealth and power, causing the hearts of men and women to chase after her and to idolize her and place her as a god in their hearts over top of the God of Israel, the one and true living God. God is a jealous God. And he will not tolerate any person being in his position or in his throne. She knew all about the culture of Israel when she was taken as Ahab's wife. And instead of submitting, she worked only to secure her position and her power. And she used any angle and any vessel to get her way. Her favorite tools were deception and cruelty, believing that they empowered her and showed her authority. Let's face it, if you were in a battle and you knew the layout of the land, you knew the numbers of the enemy, you knew everything that there was to know about that, but your enemy did not know everything, you have the upper hand. And it's most likely that you will win the battle. And that's the principle that Jezebel applied. She knew everything there was to know about that culture, the nation that she was going to go into. And just like that, the Jezebel spirit knows everything there is to know about a Christian and about each and every single one of us. It studies us and knows where our weak points are, where we will fall at the slightest touch, what temptation, how long she has to dangle that there to get her way with men. And just like that, so does the Jezebel spirit. It knows what it has to do in order to get us to just step, not jump, but just step slightly towards it. And if it can get us to take that first step, it is only a matter of time before we take the next step and the next step and the next step outside of the truth until we are in a pit of darkness, not knowing where up and where down is. And that's what the Jezebel spirit seeks to do. It seeks to hold the truth from us, to keep us in darkness, to keep us from the truth of the reality of the situation, while slowly leading us into the sin that God hates. In Proverbs, it's written, there are 6 things that Lord hates and 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brethren. If we look, and if you know the story of Jezebel, every single thing that I just read details her whole entire history in Israel. Everything that she did in Israel is laid out here. It is no wonder why she is called Satan's woman and she is enemy to God. It is also how the Jezebel spirit operates. It is in the same manner that it causes us to try to fall into these sins, knowing that if we were to fall and remain unrepentant to these sins, we would bring the wrath of God upon us. It is no surprise that this ruling spirit tries to inflict hardship on us, the people of God. How many of us believe it when pastor says that we are royal priesthood? We are seated in high and heavenly places. We have a royal inheritance. We have authority from God. Huh? We believe that, right? Do you believe that? Is it embedded in your heart? If it is, then it is of no surprise why this Jezebel spirit is inflicting such casualties among us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare his praises, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Amen. We are a royal priesthood who are seated in heavenly places even now. And the Jezebel spirit seeks out its opposition and tries to destroy it, because it will not allow any threat to impose upon its position. We are a threat to this spirit. Do you believe that? We are a threat. But we have operated under the illusion that this spirit has twisted. Although we know we are not of this world and that we are just passing through, we have been led to believe that that means we have no responsibility in this world. And this is wrong. We, the church, have allowed this spirit to close our mouths and to not voice the moral standard in America today. Instead, we have accepted an understanding for a truce of tolerance. You may be wondering what this truce is, this tolerance. It's simple. We tolerate the world's sin and it seeks to kill us. Well, that doesn't sound like a very good treaty. It is our duty to step out to instruct this nation. Or else we are responsible, just as Jezebel the person was responsible for leading a nation into sin. Without going out and proclaiming the truth, which is the gospel, we are responsible for not preaching the good news. We are responsible for the lost opportunities by not living a life that is worthy of Christ. We have submitted into a spirit and we tolerate that Jezebel spirit. This is what I have against you. You tolerated that woman. But we sleep. But we lay back. The Jezebel spirit is aware of our positions, but many of us are not. It does whatever it can to deceive us and to remove any power and authority that God has given us and to separate us from God. The Spirit has caused nations to war, divided men of God, faded revivals, and closed the mouth of prophetic, just to name a few. It invades the hearts and minds of men and women, preying on their insecurities, unrepentant sin, and any areas of life that remain unsubmitted to God. Its goal is to lead us into a state of rebellion against God, tempting us with the opportunity to become our own masters and a comfy, cushy Christianity. It tells us that we must show sinners love and shower them with acceptance, telling them that it's okay and that we understand. And even I myself have had to repent of this, because I've heard myself say that to friends who've fallen, that it's okay. God still loves you, and I still love you, and you know what you have to do. And the truth is that it's not okay, and that they were looking for someone to say, it's not okay, and what you did is not good, and that you need to repent to get rid of the sin. And though God still loves you, by continuing your actions, you are playing a dangerous game with your heart and with your relationship with God. We need to understand that any sinful choice is a shameful act. It's not something to be proud of, and should never condone it, lest we trivialize the sacrifice that Christ has made and the severity of sin. But yet, we continue to bite into that bait by the Jezebel spirit, and we remain deceived. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because we do not know how to properly combat this spirit. We believe that it is something that we can handle by a mere choice. But we can't do any of this. It is only through the blood of Christ and the power that Christ has that we are able to do any of this. So then how do we combat such an enemy? God is such a good God who loves us so much that he has laid out a plan to how to combat this spirit. And that plan is, first, we must know the truth. John 14:6, and thank you for everyone who helped me in finding this morning. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We must know who saves us and in whose name we lay claim to and proclaim, in order to remain free from deception. If you don't know Christ, if you simply say, yeah, Christ is my homeboy, yeah, I know Christ, but you do not spend time with him, if you do not sit there and pray, but you'd rather talk about One Tree Hill, Top Chef, you'd rather sit there and gossip about the problems that placate the families, and you do not lift up God in that conversation instead, you have given the open door to the Jezebel spirit to manipulate and control your life. Without knowing, and when you know somebody, you are not just an acquaintance, you are a friend. You know mostly everything about that person. And if you don't, you strive to know more. How much of us strive to know God more? A lot of us do. A lot of us strive to know God on our own time, on our own terms, though. And it's never about us. It's always about Christ. So we need to get into the Word and find out, what are his terms? What does he require of us? Know the truth and have it know you. that way you may remain free of deception. It is only through His truth that we will have our eyes unscathed and reveal the truth of the matter and cast out any darkness. But then what do we do once we find that we've been deceived? What do we do once we have deception? Okay, yes, we have truth. Great. Truth is in us. Woohoo! And we go on? No, there is still another step. And this step is outlined in Revelation 12:11. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives so much as to shirk from death. The next step after we find that we have been deceived is that we must repent. Repentance is not a punishment. Repentance is freedom. And it is high time that the church realize that her power is not standing in the corner and hiding her sin, but getting down on her knees and praying the blood of Christ upon her. We must repent of any sins, attitudes, and surrender to God any areas we still hold in our lives that are our kingdoms, our domain. This is mine. I'm not ready to accept it. I'm not ready to let go of this. I can't surrender it yet. Because if you don't, you will still be deceived. As we learned in women's group, we were talking about this just yesterday, for those of you who are listening in, that we bite into this lie that our sin does not affect anyone else. We're okay. As long as it's contained within us, it's okay. And that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Because when one hurts, all hurts. And it's only a matter of time that you think you've contained it, but it will seep out and the root system will continue to spread out and it will decimate all things that you hold dear. It is only through Christ cleansing us and renewing our minds and removing our sin, removing the deception, that we have come to believe that we are able to kick out that spirit, that we're able to slam the door in its face and clean up the inside and say, God, have residence here in my heart. It is only through Him. And it is only through Christ and His blood that we will be able to defeat this spirit. Not combat, but defeat. Hear me, church. And lastly, we must cultivate a love and passion for God, that He becomes our topics of conversation, and that we find that our lives are lost in Him. We must come to a place where when our friends come up to us, hey, did you see Top Chef? Yeah. And then we look for the opportunity to insert God. It's not a matter of evangelizing because some church needs more congregants. It's not a matter of just wanting to see your friend get saved. It is a lifestyle that when we chose to accept Christ into our life, we no longer have a life. When we accepted His life into our lives and we took it on, we said that we would live as Christ lived. That meant that our tantrums, our attitudes, our sin, our wants, our needs, they were gone. And it only became all about Christ. And so in the Bible, how Christ lived, that's how we're expected to live. His character, His goodness, His graciousness, and His righteousness are expected to penetrate from our hearts out into the world. These steps seem simple, but it will take us a lifetime to master them. And we are behind the eight ball. We are combating a spirit who has had before time to perfect its tools, lures, and torture devices. But we know someone who is greater. And it is through Him that we will stand in the victory that He has won.
Amen.
We must diligently seek to surrender, not just daily, but in every instance an offense comes, a hurt presents itself, or when temptation comes our way. Even today, this morning, it is so funny how quickly you will be tested in this message. I mean, this has been constant for me this past week in writing this thing. And just this morning, as I came in, another believer who we're trying to build with completely ripped me a new one. And I'm like, oh! Because my heart is open to this person in believing that this person is going to go about things in a respectful, appropriate manner because they too are accepting of Christ's character. They too are laying name to the name of Christ. So I was quite hurt, and I had to immediately surrender that to God and repent and then say, I forgive you, and let it go. So it's quick, and sometimes you don't even know it. We must remain in the light in order to drive away the darkness that would blind us and mislead us. We must respond with action. Hear me, action. In order to remove and destroy this spirit's deception.
Amen.
If any one of us has been deceived by the enemy, I encourage you to come forward at this time. If any one of us wants to receive prayer, come forward. If you're listening to this tape or this audio track, pray a prayer of repentance and then go find your pastor and the leaders of your church. Tell them what you have surrendered and ask for prayer that God may fill you. And if you don't know how to repent, repentance is simply agreeing with God that you have sinned and surrendering it to Him and then not walking, running 180 degrees in the opposite direction. For those of us who are in need of God, pray this prayer with me. Bow our heads. Lord, I come before you now, and I repent for my sin. And whatever sin you may have, just confess that to Him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what sin it is. We categorize sin. God doesn't. And I surrender it to you, and I ask that you cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Lord, wash me with the blood of the Lamb, that my mind, my heart, and my spirit may be pure before you. I ask, Lord, that you would extend your mercy and grace to me, and cover me that I may walk in the victory that is in Christ. Amen.